About 4.5 years ago, they hired me to oversee the achievement testing program for the AACS that was being brought in-house. I think you remember, if you've been around a while, that it used to be that the schools dealt directly with Pearson and ordered the Stanford 10. Any questions, you went to Pearson. Pearson made the decision that they were going to discontinue the use of the SAT 10, the test that we had been using for probably 20 some years or so. And so the leaders of the AACS back at that time had to come up with another test. They formed a committee and they looked at all the nationally normed achievement test materials that were available. They narrowed it down to three. They chose the Iowa. The Iowa assessment was so far above the others that they had looked at that it seemed like a good choice. The contract was signed. And then Pearson made the decision, because of a business reason, I think they lost a lot of money, or they were going to lose a lot of money on their that they were going to continue the SAT 10 after all on a limited basis. But we were already full steam ahead on this program. And so there are three workshops I'll be presenting today. This is the first one, which provides an overview of the whole system. The next one is the use of the Data Manager website. And then the third one is one that I put together specifically about, it's called Tips for Testing Coordinators. There are things, you don't have to be a testing coordinator, but there are some pointers about the testing program that I think if a teacher or an administrator understood, it would go much smoother. Let's have a brief word of prayer and then we'll get started. Our Father, we do thank you for Christian education. And we thank you for your Son that makes all of this possible. Bless during this time that we have together this morning as we look at this tool for improving education in the classroom. In Jesus' name, amen. In Christian schools, we always have a plan B, right? And so most of the slides are on this handout. So let's look at the second slide on here. And it says experience in assessment. The Iowa company, the Iowa assessment, when we signed the contract, the name of the publisher of the test was Riverside. After we signed the contract, Riverside as a company was bought out by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, large company. A year ago, Houghton Mifflin Harcourt sold off the Riverside company as a business decision, and now it's called Riverside Insights. And so, but the company has been around for a very long time, and you see that they offer other testing products, not just the Iowa assessment that we use and the cognitive ability test. And so on the next page, the Riverside company was the first testing company to do things that most companies are now doing. Now, I've been around in Christian education long enough to remember way back in the early days when I taught that we used the California Achievement Test, and not only did we administer the test, but then the teachers were expected to hand grade all the tests, and then after you figure out, like for the reading, they got 27 right, then you had to look up what the raw score of 27, what's the GE for that, what's the state nine for that, and put it on this great big chart, and that's just how it was done. But now, this company came up with scanning answer documents, and so none of that had to be done, and I'm glad that they did that. Notice the first individual narrative report for parents. Most schools, I think, will send the results of the testing home to parents, and that's a good thing. Well, this company was the first one that came up with the report forms in order to do that. And then the last thing there is the Data Manager website, which the way that works is once we scan your answer documents in my office in Chattanooga, within a day, that data is transmitted to the servers at the Riverside headquarters in Chicago. And then each person at the school that has the access, usually it's one person that's over the testing at your school, they can log in to the Data Manager website, typically a day or two after we upload the results, and you can print all the reports you want for no cost. And there's other things that you can do with the Data Manager website. So I mentioned all of that to say that the Iowa Assessment, Riverside Insights is the company. Iowa Assessment is the test. It's a company that's been around for a long time. They're very innovative. It's not like, this is how we've always done it, this is how we will always do it. They're always looking for a way to improve their product, and it's gone very well. Now, think through, if you were on a committee to decide what questions should be on that test booklet for first grade. You've got a blank book in front of you, and you need to come up with questions for all the information. What skills are you going to teach? What little pictures, what color, and the number of questions in each one. Let's see if we're doing anything here. No. And so the Iowa team looked at all these things in the bottom half here on page slide 4, and they looked at what are the things that most schools in the country are testing their students on in the different subjects at the different grade levels. The Iowa Assessment is not tied to any one textbook publisher, and it shouldn't be. This is a nationally normed, standardized achievement test. So they look at the whole big picture on what students are normally being taught at the various grade levels. And then they developed questions, and their question process went through a very rigorous review. And every question on the Iowa textbooks that were test booklets that we're currently using were never used on a previous edition of the Iowa. They were brand new questions, and so they came up with these. And on the top, slide number 5, these are some of the features of the Form E that we're using. There is a Form F. There is a Form G. And we are currently using, and we have been using, the Form E. We will use the Form E. Oh, good. Okay. Am I doing that or are you?
You're doing it. You got it.
Okay. All right, good. Thank you. We are currently using the Form E. We will use it this year, and we will use it next year. That will be 6 years' use out of the Form E. And in the world of testing, eventually down the line, you have to upgrade to stay current. And so after, not this year, not even next year, but beginning with the 21-22 school year, which seems far away, we will upgrade. Now you would think if we're upgrading from the E that we will move to the F. But the F was developed for a specific area and it's not considered something for the nation. So we will actually go from the E to the G. Now the answer folders that we're currently using our EFG answer folders. So those will still be the same. The practice tests that we're currently using are EFG practice books for the Iowa. So that will not be the same. Kindergarten first and second booklets, you order those every year anyway. It will just be ordering the G instead of the F. It's the, and high school grades 9 through 12, which is levels 15 through 17/18, interestingly, they are not upgrading those from the E to the G. So those will still be able to be used. It was a business decision, I think. And so the only brand new books you'll need would be from grades 3 through grade 8. Those will become obsolete when we begin the new year. Some other features of the Form E in the Iowa is that it has the Lexile scores, which is reading. And you back in the Pearson SAT 10, you had to pay extra to get those scores. ACT and SAT predictor scores. You can give your students the Iowa test, and without giving any other test or doing anything different, you can get a score that will predict, based on how well they do in the Iowa, on what their ACT composite score will be for grades 8 through 11. Now, some of the descriptions about this say it's from grades 6 through 11, but I found that's not the case. So for grades 8 through 11, it will give a range of a composite. And if parents of Johnny are thinking to get him enrolled in a prestigious university, and Johnny's predicted ACT composite score is in the single digits, then there's a reality check that needs to go on there. And at least there's some time to give Johnny some remedial work. It will also do the SAT reading and reasoning scores. How reliable are those? Every bit, if not a little bit more reliable than like the pre-ACT or some of the prep tests that went along with the ACT. It's a very reliable score. Data Manager is more than just printing reports. You can print off what's called content classification guides. This is a grade level by grade level, test by test. What are the skills that are being taught or tested rather on that particular test? And if I were a teacher giving a test to my students, I'd want to know what skills are on that test. And you can find out by looking at the content classification guide. Go to Data Manager. It's a free download as a PDF. It's also on the AACS website. We found, though, that the content classification guides were not as easy to understand as we would have liked. And so we asked the Riverside people, could you take your content classification guides and expand them? And apparently we were the only one that asked, but they spent hundreds and hundreds of their staff hours to do just that. And they came up with what's called, amazingly enough, a supplemental content classification guide. And they gave us a copy of that, and they gave us permission to put it up on the AACS website. And as far as I know, that's the only place it's available. It's not available on Data Manager. It's a much easier to read format. The directions booklets that teachers need to administer the test, you can download them at no cost from the Data Manager website. Now, we also sell them through our office for $10 a piece. You can buy them from the test company for $28 a piece. Why would you buy them if you can download them for free? The booklets themselves are anywhere from 60 to 80 pages long, and they're easier to use if they're in color. And think of your color copying capability in your school office. Do you have a color copier? Is it 10 cents a page? Most, for 10 bucks, will just buy it and reuse it. COGAT cognitive abilities test, practice test, are available free as a download from the Data Manager website. Only up through level 12, which is sixth grade. Practice tests for grades 7 and above for the COGAT test are not published, but they are available as a free download. Now, the Iowa practice tests are not available as a free download. You would have to order them through our office. Now this slide, and this is why you have it on your handout, because I could not read that probably, but this slide highlights the differences between the old testing program with Pearson and SAT-10 and the new testing program that began 4 years ago. It was Pearson, now it's Riverside Insights, Stanford 10, well now it's the Iowa assessment. The Otis Lennon School Ability Test has been replaced now with the Cognitive Abilities Test. We call it COGAT. Used to be you buy your materials directly from the test publisher. Now you buy them directly from us. And the prices that we charge have not changed ever since the 4 years. It was a discount off the 2014 catalog prices. When we do switch to the level G, I do expect that our prices that we are charged will go up, and I expect that we will charge more on our testing materials order form. Used to be the tests were untimed, but now they are timed. And frankly, as a person that has administered these tests, I'd like it when they're timed better than when they're non-timed. Used to be it was all paper and pencil. That's how you did it. Now, with us, we do have an option to go online testing. And the very first year we brought out this program, we thought, well, maybe how many schools will do this? There are almost 800 schools in the AACS. We thought maybe 450 would be, and how many of those will choose to do their testing online? Well, it turns out there were 500 schools that tested with us that first year. Any guesses what percent of them went online testing? There was one school, of all those schools that said, we're interested in doing it online, and only for our older students. The younger students, and I think rightly so, they did the paper pencil version. And that first year, the school, it sounded easy, online testing, cutting edge technology, this is great. But then they realize we have one computer lab with this many computers and all these students, and we have that 1 week. We went logistically, it just didn't work out. And so every year we have maybe once, some years we haven't had any. So most schools will do the old-fashioned, tried and true paper pencil testing, but there is an option for online. And then the difference on how they're scanned is now that we do that in-house. We hire about 7 people part-time in the spring. And we have that 6-week testing window, mid-March through the end of April. And everybody waits to the last minute. And then our office gets deluged by all these boxes of materials coming in. And we need help to do that. I think the people that get the honor, we have a retired couple that lives in North Carolina. She taught, he administrated, and they planned their spring to come to Chattanooga in their RV. They hook up at our church at one of the 2 RV spots, and they work for us. And they've done this for 4 years. They'll be doing it for the 5th year. And so we appreciate Dean and Alice coming in. Yeah, we had another lady in our church that had taught before, helped us, and she was so disloyal, she chose to teach at one of the local Christian schools rather than working part-time for us 5 weeks out of the year. So once we scan, you have 2 options. You can download your own reports, or you can pay a little bit extra, and I'll download the reports for you and mail them to you. But in the past, everybody got the same printed paper reports. Now, once we first went to this new program, we knew there would be an issue because we've used the SAT-10 for all these years, and now we're switching, and yeah, new tests, everything, but how does that affect us? How are our kids going to do? And the old SAT-10 was normed in 2002. The test, the Form E that we're using is 2011. Now you need to understand, when these tests are developed and the scores are determined and you get your reports back, the reports that you're getting are not comparing your students to other students that tested in the same school year. They're being compared to a national representative sample that in this case was developed back in 2011. That's the 2011 norms. That's how it's done in testing. You compare, they get a national, several hundred thousand students, big school, small school. About 90% of the students in that national sample were public school students. About 5% were Catholic school students. And another 5% were non-public, non-Catholic, which would be where our schools would be. And so it's not correct to say that you're comparing your students to the public schools, even though that was 90%, because you do have the 10% of the national norm group. When we upgrade our test, we will upgrade the norms. But what happens when you go from newer norms, scores tend to go down. Because what we found is that students are doing better on these nationally normed tests, and you're comparing your students to a different group. And so that was one factor, and I'll explain more about that in just a minute. But there was another issue that caused our scores to drop, and we knew this was going to happen, and we emailed out publications and everything. Some people didn't read it, but we sent it out. But for years with the SAT-10, one of the scores that was produced was this class-to-class comparison group. They were called National Group Norms. And it gave a score that said, like, 6th grade for my school. This is their class-to-class comparison group. And it gave what looked like an average score, but it wasn't. and it was higher than what the true average score would be. Let me go there. Do you remember those type of reports from the old SAT 10? Now these are actual reports. I know I skipped a few pages here, but these are, this is over slide number 11. Now, this is a real class of students, and I'm squinting to see. Sixth grade. Now, the teacher's name was blacked out, and there are no individual names, but the top report and the bottom report give two different scores for this group of students. Now, let's look at the bottom one, where it says group score. What's that first number? That's the 88th percentile, meaning this group did better than 88% of the other groups. It's comparing the groups. And that's the score that was publicized. How did our sixth grader students, well, they got an 88th percentile. And for whatever reason, that score was viewed as being the average score of all the students in that group. But it wasn't. If you wanted the average score of all the students in the group, you'd have to look at the report at the top of that slide. Now, what's that percentile? Now, 72 is still good, but it's not as good as an 88. And for years, I'm afraid that when people within the AACS program got their reports back, well, how'd your kids do? They did 88. Our students average. Now, I think in some cases it was misunderstood, but the way that bottom score was used, for whatever reason, I hope it wasn't on purpose deceitful, but it was publicized like our sixth grade students average an 88th percentile. Now, that score is not produced by any other test company. Pearson today doesn't even produce that score. In fact, they only produced it for one customer that they used to have, and that was for the AACS. It was viewed when our initial contract was set up with AACS that that might be a useful score. And it is, if you want to get really techie into some of the details about testing. But I think most people, if they want to look at how did our sixth grade do as a group, you'd want to look at what's the average score for that group, right? Well, that's the 72. Now, what's the 6 or the 7 down here? Any ideas what that score would be? That's a Stainine score. Stainine is just a number from 1 to 9. 1 is low, 9 is high, 5 is in the middle. It's a very simple score. And so for years and years, people were looking at that group score, which was not the average score, but it was being viewed like it was. And when we switched to the Iowa test with Riverside, they don't produce that score. All their group reports would produce a true average score. And so when we go back a couple, why initially were Iowa scores somewhat lower than the old Stanford scores? Well, one reason was kids are just doing better on the test now. And you're comparing your students to a group that tends to do better, you're going to get a lower score. And also the score that used to be publicized was a higher than it should have been type of score. Does that make sense? Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. And this paragraph here, Mr. Stephen Dunbar is the main person that really put the Iowa together. And you're comparing students, and I'd take this a little step further. If you have a JV basketball player, and on the JV team, he's the star player. Take him off the JV team, substitute him into the varsity team, the poor guy might not even start. He may not even play. Now, it's the same student. He has the same skills, But over here, you're comparing him to a completely different set of students. And that's what really happens in this world of testing. Where you have, before it was the 2002 norms, now it's 2011. Norms really should not be any older than 10 years. And this is 2019. By the time we switch, it will have been 10 years. So when we switch to the G, we will, right now, the most recent norms available for the Iowa are 2017. Now, maybe in the next year, I haven't heard that they're coming up with anything more recent than 2017, but if they do, we will probably switch to that. Now, I have been told, because I asked, what can we expect when we move the AACS program from 2011 norms, which we're currently using with the E, to the G with 2017? They've already done all the analysis, and they say there shouldn't be any change except in some grade levels and some tests it may go up a little bit. So this is good news. It won't be a huge difference like it was in the past. Yes, sir.
Maybe you've already answered this. This says, outperforming comparable students during previous normal periods. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's because
students are getting a better education in the public school system, which is what most of the students are in the norm group. It's just that on these particular tests, they tend to do better. I think in some of the public school, Christian schools, we are pretty much tied to the textbook. That is usually not the case in public schools. They're tied to a list of standards of things that their district or state level, depending on how it's done, where they come up with, these are the items that we want to have taught in our schools at these grade levels. And it's not textbook driven, it's those standards. And that's not bad to have that. But in our circles, we tend to teach whatever's in the textbook. And we go by that almost exclusively. I've been there, and that's just a normal thing. Okay? Let's go on, no class, so we looked at that. And so this kind of chart was created by Pearson. You may have remember those. This has, it's even hard to read on the handout, but it has kindergarten, first grade, all the way up through 12th grade, grade equivalent scores on the top, national percentile scores, a percentile score right in the middle. What number would that be? A purely average percentile score, it'd be 50th. So if you score 50, that means you did better than half, the other half did better than you. You're right, and that's right there. See the line? That's where the national or the realm is. And you can see with the old group scores with Pearson, kindergarten was real high, first grade dipped a bit and went over here, grade equivalent scores, our AACS are in the black up in here. And so the publication materials, it really made us look like we were doing better than we were, frankly. And I've been there, I've been in Christian education since the 1970s. I know you're shocked by me saying that, but it was 79, so it was at the end of the 70s. But we are three grade levels above the public schools. Well, in many cases, that was pure boast. It was not founded on fact, because the score they were using to come up with that was not the average. And even here, you can see it wasn't the case. Now, we can print a report like that from information from Data Manager. And it looks the same, sort of. Now, look at the bottom ones. Kindergarten is still, but again, here's the 50th. Ooh. These are based on true average scores for the grade levels. Kindergarten, we're way up there. We drop, although it's still pretty good for, but here's where I was concerned. These are the high school, but in kindergarten first, so third through eighth grade, on the average, we're average. Some states, the average of the schools that tested is below average. And so I thought, well, what's causing that? And so, this is a review, lower percentage scores. Why were the scores lower? Is it just because we went to newer norms and we're not looking at that group-to-group comparison? So after that first year, I did some digging, and it was easy to do with Data Manager. And, we started with this to see where the grade equivalent and percentile scores were for the different grade levels. And kindergarten, and I do this at the end of each year. I've done this four times at the end of each testing year. I want to see how our do. I go to a conference. How do our kids do? Well, what they want to hear is great. It depends. Kindergarten, we're off the chart. I mean, our AA, we test about 5,000 kindergarten students a year, and as a average, I think that's the 85th. Or so. And that's standard. It's either 85th or 86th for each of the 4 years. So our kindergarten students are doing very well. First grade, it drops. Again, right here, 50th, that's average, right in the middle. Second grade and first grade are about the, but I looked at these middle. These are barely above the 50th percentile. I thought, well, what's dragging us down? And then high school, it goes up to about the upper 60s, 70th percentile. So I ran a report like this. Now this is sixth grade students. It's hard to see in the wall. It's even hard to see in your handout. But this has sixth grade students, which is level 12. It was done after, this is test date of spring of 2016. And this is all the students in the AACS in sixth grade that we tested. And if you look at the underneath each test level, it says N, or the number included, which is a very small number, but that's the number of students that were tested in that area. And here's the average right here. This is the 50th percentile. Now, where's our weakest spot? Right there. In that test, we did not even reach the 50th percentile. Where's our second weakest spot? Right there. Is that a 50 or a 51? 52? All right. You could say we're above average. If it's 52, I wouldn't even say that. I would just say, well, we're working on it. But just so in now. Look underneath that score. If you've administered the test, you know that there are two math tests, right? One's computation, and one's just called mathematics. Now, the computation is adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing, that type of thing. The one just called mathematics is more math understanding, math reasoning. To have that much of a difference between two different math scores is very significant. Look up at reading. Now, some of these other language arts type scores, punctuation, spelling, capitalization, it depends on the grade level. That tells me that in the areas that involve rote memory, our students do very well. In areas involving understanding and reasoning skills, both math and reading, on the whole, in sixth grade, in that year, our students are below average or just at the average range. In some states, if I do the same report but just narrow it down by a state, I've done that, that math score was in the low 30s. It wasn't a state in your region at all, it was back east. Which is really where most of our schools are, but still. And so to me, that's a wake-up call. Now, this chart just has the name of the test. But what you can do is run this report, and it breaks it down to the skills that are tested in this case, the math area. And you can see the average percent correct for the nation or for the particular area. And you can see that we are weak in some geometry areas and some statistics, and you can look at the supplemental content classification guides to see where some of these weaknesses are. And this first year was not just a fluke. I run these same type of reports each year, and each year it's the same conclusion. Our high scores, our capitalizations in the mechanical areas in language, and then the computation. Our low scores, this is for every grade level beginning in grade 3, our low score is in the math understanding from grades 3 all the way up through high school. Now, even in high school, it's above average, above the 50th, but it still is our lowest score. Now, what does that mean? It means our students need help in math understanding and reading comprehension. They're not getting. Now, I've taught on the elementary level, the junior high, and high school level. History, some English, government. And I know it's harder to teach students to understand and to comprehend. It's easier to teach 2 + 2 = 4 and just get that. And they need that. But we need students that know how to think and to reason and can look and can figure it out based on, and that can be done. This is a sample page from the content classification guide. Again, hard to understand. That's why the supplemental content classification guide is a little bit easier. This gives some information. Now, unfortunately, when the Riverside people came up with the content classification guide, they only did it up through eighth grade, kindergarten through eighth grade. And it was only in the areas of math and language arts. There were some issues about the upper grades and other subjects, and that was also during the time that the company was being sold off from Houghton Mifflin Harcourt to Riverside Insights, so it went through a corporate reorganization. We've asked if they could expand it, but I don't know if they're going to do it for us again. So we may be only having the supplemental guide for up through eighth grade language arts and math. So, in broad strokes, now this paragraph is, there's a lot to it, but AACS scores are lower when switching to the Iowa because our students are not, and they continue to not have been, they're not scoring as well relative to the peer groups, to the norm group, in grades 3 through 8, especially in reading comprehension and math concepts. Now, where are your students in that? Because it's not every school. I mean, we're talking about the whole program with thousands of students. This is the big picture. Obviously, there are some schools here and there that have excellent programs and the students are getting it. And I get asked all the time, well, if we switch curriculum from this to that, will our scores go up? And I'm sorry, but that's a foolish question. The key in the classroom of student learning is not who published your book. It's the teacher. The teacher is the key. And yes, textbooks and everything that's done, that's a good tool and you need those and that's important, but the teacher is the key. And you need to know where your students are. And did you know that all students don't learn the same way? I mean, some of them are, you know, my years teaching junior high, you know, I come from a Catholic background, so I know what purgatory is, and then I went into Christian education, and I understand junior hires, and it was some of the same feelings, I thought, but they can be taught. That's why schools that use the cognitive abilities test, the COGAT test, that's the test that tells you how your students learn. And you look at that report and just don't file it away in the drawer. So, let's talk about college entrance scores a little bit. ACT, SAT, I was in the Midwest. ACT was real big. Between the two scores, what's the most prevalent one here? in the West Coast?
ACT.
ACT, okay. These are predicted scores, and they will show up. This is these are not real students. This is a brilliantly named list of student scores report. And which is just an alphabetical list of your students by grade level, showing the score that you want to have on that list. This is slide number 23. If you print this report, and none of these students are real, this is just made up data. If you print the list of student scores report on the far right column, those columns will be added. You don't have to do anything. They'll just show up as part of the report, and they will list for grades 8 through 11 what the range of the ACT composite score will be, or the reading and the math SAT scores. It would be listed as a range. On the performance profile sheet, and this is actually a sheet for a real student, that's why I blocked out the name of the student and the school and the state. Right here, and it's hard to read, so the next slide is bigger, and it will tell you. And see, this is a sheet that if you chose the individual performance profile sheet to send home to parents, then as part of that, it will have the ACT and SAT range scores on it. These are some other reports that you can print from the Data Manager website. Different format. This report, the Student Profile Narrative Report, is probably the report that most schools use to print out to send home to parents. Now, it will not say in big letters Student Profile Narrative at the top. That's just for the slide. But it mentions the scores. And by the way, if you print this yourself, you decide what scores to have on this report. Have you ever had a parent get confused about a grade equivalent score? And Johnny, we'll pick on Johnny again. Johnny in the sixth grade, and his grade equivalent score on the subject is 9.0. And so parents think that you are holding him back and stifling his creative flow, and he should be promoted up to the ninth grade because his grade, that's not really what a grade equivalent score is meant to determine. And so for that reason, what some schools do when they print a report that goes home to parents, they just don't click the box for grade equivalent score, and that score doesn't even show up on that report. The stay 9 score, the 1 to 9 score, the percentile score, yep, that's fine, but maybe not the grade equivalent score. It lists the all the tests, the subjects that you want, and then a narrative. The alternative would be the individual performance profile report, which does have the college scores on it for grades 8 through 12. Is this too much information for a parent to get? You have, because probably it would be one of these two. That one. Now, what I like about this one is this bottom portion breaks it down by skill level. And if the black line is over here, then that means it's above average. Whereas if it's right there, it's below average. But you decide. Or whoever your administrator decides, or you tell him what he should decide, but each school decides which report. But those are the two. Oh, a group summary report, you don't have names, you just want to see how did our group do. You can break it down to the skill level. You can have this with a group of students. Now this is an interesting kind of report. It takes just a few seconds to generate this report. This is the same grade level at a school, fifth grade, fifth grade, fifth grade. It plots it up here in a grade equivalent score, and you can go up to five different years. And you can see either an individual student, or in this case, a group of students. And if it's the same grade level with Mrs. So-and-so who's been teaching that same thing, I mean, when the building was built, she was part of the whole thing, and would you expect much change in scores if nothing else? No, it'd be pretty much the same. But look at this next one. Here they're third graders, now they're fourth graders, now they're fifth graders, next year they're sixth, and the line should be going up. You see the difference between that, which is the same grade level each year, to this one, which is the same group of students as they move up. Now, You can do a report like this for an individual student, or in this case, a group of students. Very easy to do with the Data Manager website. Very briefly, the COGAT test, it's not an IQ test. The Otis-Lennon was not an IQ test, it's an abilities test. It measures how students learn. This chart here, what page are we on? What slide? 18. Okay. This shows you how the different tests are labeled. You see the grade levels? Iowa. Now, what do you think these numbers come up with?
Ages.
Pretty much the ages.
Do you know why they did
it? That's just, it was easier than the way it was done with Pearson, I think, frankly. They just did. Now, that doesn't mean, and I had one school do this, and like it was a ninth grade. Well, in ninth grade, you might have some 13-year-olds, some 14-year-olds, some 15-year-olds. So they gave the test in ninth grade, depending on how old you were, rather than the test. You really need to go by what grade is that student in. And then that determines which test you give them. Notice it's a different test for every student, or every grade, except for 11th and 12th. It's the same Iowa test. The practice test, notice that kindergarten, first and second grade uses the same practice test. So if you are in charge of ordering and you need 10 for first grade and 15 for second, don't order 10 and 15. Order 125 pack and you save some money and you get a free direction booklet with every 25 pack. Fourth, fifth, and sixth uses the same and so forth. The COGAT tests, beginning in 7th and 8th grade, they use the same COGAT test, 9th and 10th, 11th and 12th. This is the COGAT practice test, and these are free downloads from Data Manager, and they don't make them for the older students. These are some of the major features of Data Manager, which will be the next session. These are the deadlines, and you can order after November 1st, but it will cost an additional 3%. And I get schools ordering, they get a call, the frantic sounding call, we're testing in the morning and we're three books short. Can you get them here? Well, it depends. The testing window, March 16th through April 24th, test within that time period, and then get everything back to us by May 15th. And that's the end. Any questions? Again, this is meant to be an overview of the whole subject. Next time we'll talk about, if you're able to come back, specifically about the Data Manager website.